So I'll get started here in 3, 2, 1. Hey,
That was
everyone.
one, two, three.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. I'm going to have to restart that over. You're right. It's because I'm looking at myself in the camera and like it didn't feel right. And then when I started doing it, I looked at it. I'm like, going,
the start
one,
of the
two,
episode
three.
Right there.
I'm just done. We got to get off on the right foot here.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's do it the
in
right way.
Five, three,
in 9, 7. We just do sign language. Oh, it's too fun. All right. So we'll go in 3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, it's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy. If you're looking for a LoopNet alternative or you want to double end more deals, go to getdigzy.com. There's going to be links in the comments and the post. Just look for them anywhere that text can be. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Bucky Beeman. He is the winner of the Rochester, Minnesota hamburger eating contest. So much so that he actually has a shirt with hamburgers all over his shirt. So he's got hamburgers all over the place. In fact, there's a hamburger right there in the background, but it's already been eaten. I'm kidding. Yeah. There's no hamburger there. Just no Jedi mind trick here. So Bucky, thanks for coming online again. Want to just tell us a little bit about what you do over in Rochester.
Yeah, I'm a commercial real estate agent over in Rochester. My father owned a little drive-through burger restaurant called Snappy Stop. And that's where I got my stripes in business. And it led to commercial real estate somehow. And I just make myself different by using social media to put my brand out there and let people know what's going on in Rochester.
We love you, Bucky. You're amazing. And then we also have Natalie Wainwright, who's actually missing. She had better stuff to do, but it's okay, Natalie. I'm mailing you a bag of poop, so just be careful when you open up your mailbox. And we got Blake Haggett, who some of you may know from social media. And Blake, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you do.
Yeah, how's it going, everybody? Blake Haggett out of Boise, Idaho. I'm a commercial real estate broker, owner, investor, kind of all that fun stuff. I focus a lot of my time and energy in social media marketing for small business owners, as well as brokering, you know, office, retail, and a handful of deals here in the Boise market. I started my company, KZB Real Estate, about 3 years ago. And yeah, man, I've noticed such a huge value of using social media in my business and excited to share about that today.
Cool. Thank you for sharing. And we got the OG social media mogul in commercial real estate, Mark Jensen. By the way, Mark, actually, the guys from Capcom modeled Guile from Street Fighter after Mark Jensen. So Mark actually gets royalty checks all over the place. So Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is I've done deals with the guy that made Mortal Kombat. So
yes, that's one of my favorite
games. George, and that was incredible. He's a total stud. Salt Lake City based. Can you believe that? That Mortal Kombat came from the land of... We'll leave that one alone.
Yeah.
My name is Mark Jensen. I'm probably the least active on social media out of these studs, so I'm excited to be here to learn. I've just been around longer. I'm the old guy. I'll be 40 this year. I'm a commercial real estate broker based in Salt Lake City. I've transcended brokerage. I can bring you debt, equity, deals, whatever you want. But my primary focus is we've got a team of 8 that does multifamily apartments in the Utah market and focus on that asset class, and happy to be here. So thanks for having me on. You guys are total studs and making huge waves in the social media space. So excited to learn.
Cool. So what I like to do today is I'd like for us to kind of talk about social media. You know, it's so funny, Mark, even when you weren't as busy, well, you've always been busy, but when you were more active in social media, I've seen your videos that you do put out, like doing tours and stuff like that, but it's still a mystery to a lot of people how they can use social media to enhance their business. So I like to start with Blake, right? And we'll just go kind of round robin. The question is going to be, you know, if you had to pick one social media platform to enhance your business, which one would it be and why?
Great question. And, you know, to kick that off, I've had a lot of personal success using Instagram. It was kind of my generation platform. As I was growing, and once I noticed it being a really good resource / tool for my business, I kind of got involved. Before that, I didn't really use it that much, to be honest with you. But say 4 or 5 years ago, I started using Instagram. Main reason why is doing a lot of retail, small mom and pop shop deals to get my feet wet and get going in the business. I really needed that decision maker, and making that connection with that decision maker through a platform like that. A lot of small business mom and pop shop accounts are ran by the mom and pop themselves. So you can't always door knock those places and go in and, you know, run into the owner, but, you know, building a platform for myself that gained me traction and credibility in the space, really helped. So, you know, they'd check out my profile. I'd have commercial real estate info, maybe some small business marketing tips. I know that that's been a huge platform for me to gain clientele, is how to educate them and how to use digital media. So Instagram's my platform of choice.
Cool. What about you, Mark?
So, I mean, I'd say the majority of my business, I do, or most of my social media is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn to me, like when you and I first started, you know, 10 years ago, I think I joined LinkedIn in 2006, if that dates me. So most of my connections have been through business on LinkedIn. I'd say the last probably 24 months, LinkedIn has exploded. I think it's like that generational growth. Like before, I always joke that I was looking for, you know, kind of wealthy older individuals that own commercial real estate, and they definitely weren't on LinkedIn. However, now the next generation that's running those businesses and, you know, doing those development deals, running family offices, running funds in New York, a lot of them are using LinkedIn to source, you know, potential brokers or potential deals in specific markets, or to learn about those markets. So my connectivity and use of LinkedIn has driven quite a bit of the value, in my opinion. I wouldn't say it's led to specific deals, other than one I can talk about where he actually followed me on LinkedIn and called and said, "Hey, would you sell our building for us?" But I guarantee you that we're early in that cycle. And if you're not in real estate, I mean, social media is the real estate of the internets. And if you're not, you know, sort of putting your stake in the ground and making your claim and taking your niche, you know, you're missing the boat. So.
Cool. Bucky, I'm really interested to hear if you had to pick, you know, one platform and why from you, because you're on everything. I think you're like on the next platform that we haven't heard about, maybe some like something like out of like India social network or something.
Yep. Just already claiming my stake in whatever app that is. So
love it.
You know, I love Instagram, but Blake, as you shared it, I just think about YouTube, and I think about the real value in YouTube is not necessarily trying to become the next vlogger per se, because that's tough. I think it's claiming your stake on YouTube as a local expert by using the descriptions properly, by collaborating with businesses and in the title naming those businesses, because as we all know, YouTube is owned by Google. And so when the consumer, someone coming from outside of town, types in your community in the search bar of Google, there's a chance that your video will pop up if you properly put the descriptions, put addresses of properties. I just think it's, in our field, extremely underutilized because everybody thinks they got to be a vlogger or a movie star, and it's so not true.
Yeah, that's true.
Bucky, because like, holy smokes, I didn't even think of that. That's we're all here to learn too, right?
Well, you know, the interesting thing that Bucky's doing is he's using, I'm not sure if you subscribe to his channel, but I'll put a link in the show notes and then I'll distribute his channel. He has amazing videos. Like they really look like he has like a professional videographer who, I don't know how he hooked it up, but these videos look amazing. And he's sitting there introducing the business and doing that. Sometimes he has like a vlog where like he'll wake up in the morning, go get coffee and do this and do that. It's like, he's got like kind of like a little, like a reality TV show. And it's a really good way for him to I think you when you share that with me, it's a good way for you to connect with a business owner, like have a reason to forge out the relationship, right, Buck?
Yeah, absolutely. Introduces me to them in a way that others are not, and it just opens that door for conversation, and it never fails. Give it time, and that simple video turns into a deal down the road.
That's
people
awesome.
Like to talk about themselves and their businesses. So, you know, how easy is it to ask somebody, "Hey, would you share about your business on my YouTube channel?" And I would say 90% of people would say, "Yeah, sure. Let me know when." Right.
Right. And the community loves the new business that comes to town. So I'm just following the model of Gary Vee of saying, be the media company. So sharing the new leads to people, you know, they're already Googling that new business, and then you just happen to be there with them.
Yeah, but the one thing that you're doing that's really interesting is you're optimizing for keywords and searches on Google, which is technically you're using SEO. And I see so many brokers, you know, thou shall not be named, who spend a lot of time and energy putting videos together, and they share them. And like, the title will be like today's, you know, update. And it'll be like, dude, that doesn't tell the audience anything. So one, you're lowering your clicks. Two, you're not going to be found in the future. So I think YouTube is a good way to do that. What about blogs? I mean, are you guys doing anything like with blogs or anything like that? I guess that's not really a social media platform, even though it's considered social media.
I know I've been spending a ton of time on that recently. I have a ghostwriter that we kind of collaborate on, just some value to small business owners, because I'm really trying to build out that database of, you know, when I get a listing for 2,000 square feet, I can click on my potential leads in that 1,500 to 2,500 square feet and say, call these 45 people. So it's kind of been, I've been using my blogs to kind of build out that database, at least in my market.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not a blogger, so I have not been doing that.
I kind of started in 2012 when I started my website and blog, but my problem is, I don't know. I wouldn't say that what I do is super sophisticated, but a lot of it, I just don't know what people want to hear about. I mean, my audience are people that are buying and investing in apartments, and there's a lot of data out there. I don't necessarily want to compete with it, but you know, I have had people that have gone to my blog and read some of that stuff. I've done 10 episodes of a podcast, and I started the podcast more for leverage, Blake, which was like, if I got constant questions about something, I was trying to get super efficient a couple years ago by saying, hey, thank you so much for your interest in our market. Here's a link to, you know, why Salt Lake. And it's a 45 minute podcast I did with these six people, or, you know, people are asking about, I don't know, just different things. It was just a way for me to say, hey, you want to know about opportunity zones? I interviewed like the legend, the guy that, you know, helped write this stuff. Go listen to this guy and then let's connect, just as a way to kind of offset my time so that I can focus on business generating things and adding value to my clients. So I love that concept of building your database out. I think that's super smart because it becomes a tool. It becomes a marketing piece. I mean, it's brilliant that you're doing that.
So here's a question. For example, over at Digzy, it's kind of weird because we're over almost in every single platform. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're that. And it's kind of interesting for us because mainly the individuals that we target are people in commercial real estate, like brokers, commercial real estate professionals, owners, et cetera, whoever needs to market commercial real estate property or needs to generate leads for commercial real estate services or properties. So we found LinkedIn kind of has crossed the chasm, but at the same time, there's a good group, for example, Bucky, you, Mark, and Blake, and, you know, you got Melissa Alexander, you've got Flan Casey, or Casey Flannery, you've got Linda at the Broker List. We have a bunch of, like, tightly knit individuals on Twitter, too. But can we kind of discuss where each one of you think, where Twitter is at, where TikTok is at, where LinkedIn is at? Like, what's your perception of where each one of these platforms is and whether your target market's there? So like, for example, Bucky, you do a lot of stuff on Twitter, but is your target audience, like the building owners and the prospective people, are they on LinkedIn or I'm sorry, are they on Twitter or are they do you find them in a different platform to be concentrated in? I guess my question is Twitter, your location? If it's not, like, what platform is your audience in?
I think it can change for individuals depending on how they use it and what conversations they're having on the platform. But for me, Twitter is definitely where my CRE community is. So people that are passionate about commercial real estate technology, that's really where it is. Every once in a while, you'll see me have a conversation with someone locally, but it tends to not occur just because I'm not as active in some of the conversations locally that occur on Twitter. LinkedIn for me, I would say, is the older professional that I go to a networking event and they happen to be the banker or the car salesman or somebody that is kind of that older professional in sales in a different industry. And I hear the comments from them of like, keep up the great work on your videos that you're putting out there on LinkedIn. And it's a ton of spammers for those that don't know. I get hundreds of messages.
Blake's had some great comments about the spammers.
I send them gifts back and never, like, they always respond to them. Like, really? You really responded to that gif? All right, cool. I applaud the hustle. And then And then Instagram, I would say it's that younger demographic locally. I got a lot of like local art enthusiasts, local small business owners, people that I grew up with that work at the Mayo Clinic that happen to follow me. I've had people that I didn't even know follow me, share that they are, and they happen to be at the Mayo Clinic, you know, a nurse or whatever the case may be. And they find me through my use of hashtags and location tags and things like that. And then jumping over to Facebook, Facebook, I would say, is like my grandma. Like, it's funny how that changes over time. And the last one, TikTok. TikTok is just for entertainment, honestly. I'm personally not creating much business out of TikTok.
Yeah. What about Snapchat? Did everybody forget about Snapchat? Is that a thing anymore? Because I know that if I want to talk to my niece, you know, and she's, what, 12, 13, like, I get a response faster on Snapchat than I do if I like text her.
Yeah, I'm on Snapchat, but I would agree. It's either the community. That's where I started, was Snapchat. So it's the people that have not transitioned into other apps. And then it's just a few friends that will snap back and forth during the day, but it's limited.
Blake, what about your audience? Like, where, like, can you give us a landscape of the channels and like kind of what you're seeing?
I know, just to touch on what Bucky was saying a little bit about that diversity amongst platforms, I read this morning that TikTok is really capitalizing on, and they have like just as much users as YouTube Kids right now. So it's becoming like that go-to place to watch quick, relevant content. But kind of going down the list, Twitter for me has been building my CRE community, very similar to Bucky, connecting with people like you guys, learning from my commercial real estate experts. I don't think I've ever gotten a deal from it. I try and be similar to what Bucky does with his YouTube channel, is that local expert in commercial real estate. So we have a local blogger that just crushes it, and it's called BoiseDev.com, and he publishes stories all day long about new developments, new projects. So I'm resharing those, putting my opinions, becoming that person to go to say, hey, what's going on this corner or that corner, or, you know, kind of being that expert. Then going down the list, Instagram obviously has been such a huge tool for me. I'm kind of being that local hyper influencer that knows a lot about commercial real estate, as well as I would say 80% of my content is what I like to do for fun. And that's translated a lot of trust in relationship building, as well as clients. Jumping into LinkedIn, I think that it's something that I really haven't tapped into from like a client or a lead perspective that I'm really trying to work on right now. Obviously, a lot of our clients in commercial real estate, you know, that's their social media platform of choice. I haven't been able to find like a hack to the efficiency of it and generating leads and discussions without getting hammered with spam. Through the direct messages, like my Instagram DMs, I respond to those like religiously, almost better than emails. So that's where people can easily get in touch with me to get questions answered, whatnot, because you have that filter of general and important. So I have the ability to filter those messages. Then Facebook, obviously, my grandma, funny story this morning, I've had two people tell me that they've watched my translated Instagram stories on Facebook stories. So I have the ability to kind of cover two demographics or two different areas by posting on one platform, and just having it reshare to my Facebook page has been super useful for me. TikTok, total attention grab right now. It's a funny story. I posted a little funny trending video with my daughter on one of the trending songs, and it has like 350,000 views. And not to think that that's going to convert to business, but like we're discussing in this whole conversation today, it's the online digital real estate, you know, and who knows if Sally, that's 14 years old, watches my video, clicks on another one. Oh, he does commercial real estate and her dad's an investor. And like, I've had a deal come from a daughter that told her dad about me, that it kind of came full circle. And so when that happened, I was completely sold on trying to utilize all of these platforms. And then, you know, I think that that's kind of it on my perspective of it. I know some of the other questions will lead into more things, but I'm curious to hear what Mark has to say.
Oh man. So, I mean, I would say that I first started with Twitter. I mean, I love how Gary Vee says, you know, he day trades attention, right? I mean, Blake, to your point, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to figure out TikTok. I'm too old. However, my 11-year-old is crushing it. But I started on Twitter and it was really easy. You hashtag CRE, hashtag commercial real estate. And like daily I would get, you know, 10 to 50, you know, new connections. You know, years later, if I post something now, you're lucky to get a one or two followers. So I don't think it's gaining traction in commercial real estate. I think it's become a phenomenal communication tool, and I've built some amazing friends on Twitter. I kind of went off Twitter for a while and really focused on LinkedIn, but focus is hilarious because I look at what you guys are doing and you actually have a plan and a strategy. I just have been on LinkedIn because I crave the information, the intelligence, what people are doing, what people are seeing. I mean, Blake, I know you have been talking a lot about stocks. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm a stockbroker of physical assets. Why would you invest in commercial real estate versus the stock market? Let me walk you through that. It's a risk profile, 1031 exchanges, depreciation, that sort of thing. But the, you know, to me, LinkedIn just kind of been a business platform for me. It started to get a little bit more social the last couple of years, which has been fantastic. But certainly I think that's where a lot of the future is going to go. I think LinkedIn is just getting started. I think people are figuring out how to make that thing work. I haven't done Snapchat, you know, I guess I'm too old school. So, but Instagram has been great for me to communicate and stay in front of people. I think there's still quite a bit of attention coming to Instagram. But I do think it ebbs and flows, which is crazy. Just like Bucky was saying, you know, so.
Mark, what are some of the things on LinkedIn that you're utilizing to really be efficient on it? I know that you were saying that you're like learning on it and utilizing, but to capture that attention base, I'm really just intrigued by it because I do not do LinkedIn well at all. Like, are there some tips or hacks that you know of that like have made you more efficient or reaching out to people? What's kind of helped you on that platform?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I'd say what helps me is everybody's on LinkedIn that I need to connect with. And so since I've been on LinkedIn for so long, what's ironic is that like I've usually connected to them somehow and I don't even realize it. You know, guys that started at companies that were just young analysts have now gone into acquisitions or dispositions, or they've started their own companies. And because I've sort of been there, I mean, I wouldn't say that LinkedIn or being on these platforms, actually, I'd say modern times, it creates transparency and legitimacy. You know, there's no longer do we live in the days where I can knock on your door and somehow take $1 million from you and run with it, right? Like everybody is out there, what it can be found. When people talk to me, they've typically followed me on LinkedIn or they read an article or something. If I had any advice to myself or anybody, it's quadruple down, because like right now there's more and more attention and more people are going to find you. And it used to be your blog. It used to be your website. Now it's converted to how active are you in the market? My biggest challenge is we're in a non-disclosure state and I don't know how to add value to people. You know, people don't know that, you know, last year I did 35 deals, $191 million. They don't know that I know, you know, why Salt Lake trades where it does versus Las Vegas or Phoenix or Boise. They don't know the transaction volume we see, the buyers, the sellers, the stuff that people really want to know about, I can't even talk about. And so I really struggle, actually. I usually just sort of dabble in a little bit of this and that, but I'd look for your guys' advice on what you put out that gets the most attention. For me, if I talk about, to your point, something real time and active in the market that's really interesting, like Zions Bank just signed a 400,000 square foot lease at View 72 with Gardner Company. I mean, that's a game changer for the Central Valley and the market. When you post stuff like that, I feel like you get a lot of attention. Ironically, videos, like I posted that stupid little, you know, Insta 360 thing because I'm trying to be the old Eddie Gonzalez. but I had like 11,000 views on that the very first day. And it's like, so then I'm confused, like, is LinkedIn cool, you know, or is it just become like the next wannabe old person's Instagram? So I don't know. What do you guys put out that gets the most traction? I think that's what I'm interested in. Usually it's value. And I think I could do a lot better at that.
Yeah. For me, it's the staple of the interviews with small business owners and the new business. And that, by doing that, it has led to opportunities. I just recently got contact from a broker out of the Twin Cities that had an opportunity in a smaller Southeast Minnesota town. And he liked the way I was storytelling. And he said, this property is going to need that type of storytelling aspect. So we're coming together to market this property. That conversation led to three other conversations. And, you know, we're just starting that relationship. So it's those interviews. And then also, I've always been surprised of like, the small little clips, for me, it's video all the time, small little clips of video of stuff locally that catches people's attention. My most recent one is a kind of greasy spoon restaurant and they're repainting the front. And I literally pulled over on the side of the road, videotaped it, put it on my Instagram story, saved the video, put it on LinkedIn. And that thing just continually keeps popping up on my notifications of people being like, I've went there. I love that place. That was my first business meeting, you know? And so it's just, little, don't get over romantic about how fancy this thing needs to look. The simple stuff can work.
Hey, Bucky, so where are you? So you're dropping these videos on Instagram, then LinkedIn. I mean, where can you go over the process on like what, because you do a lot of video, but where do you find like that you drop these videos to get maximum, you know, viewership and also return? You know, like, for example, this property that you're mentioning, let me just crystallize a question. Like this property that they're mentioning, you need some story telling, like, what is that person you're working with? Like, how do you get something like that, like a storytelling in front of people where you think, hey, this is going to help market the property?
Right. I'll try to go fast because I feel like I could talk about this for a half an hour. So it starts with stories on Instagram, for example. For me, it was Snapchat. And then creating consistent stories on a weekly basis. Stories are pictures, videos, or word that you're putting out that lasts for 24 hours on an Instagram, and then it goes away. And so it starts with that. And then saving those stories, individual clips, and then repurposing them for other platforms, such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And I got down to making I'll call it show. It's called the Market Update every single Thursday on my stories. And I do it religiously and have been doing it religiously for like 3 years. I don't miss a Thursday. If I'm gone, I get one of my coworkers to do it and they log into my Instagram account. I then take that story and I repurpose it on Facebook and I repurpose it on Snapchat and I put it out there because those are story. They have the storytelling function as well. I'm told that someday LinkedIn is going to have it. I'm really excited for that because by simply doing a consistent show, it leads to a following. It leads to people talking about you as an individual being the media company. It really leads to a pattern of creating consistent content that my distribution on other platforms is at a very high rate. Once I got that down, I was like, okay, I need to take this storytelling from my phone and I need to make it a little more professional because it really is me just running around with my phone in my face taking clips. So I added this aspect of a videographer where we would do interviews prior to Thursday and we would do a 3-minute clip with a business owner. And that 3-minute clip, I would then on the Thursday have it in my camera roll. I would upload it to my Instagram story, upload it to my Snapchat story, my Facebook story on my personal page. And it just added this, you know, professional aspect. And I think that helps keep people's attention. And then I take that 3-minute clip and I put it on YouTube. I put it on Facebook. I put it on LinkedIn. And I mean, it's a lot of work. I put it on my Instagram TV and it's out there to live forever. And that continually builds that following. So to summarize it, that's kind of how I do my distribution. It's a lot of work, but I'm telling you, it pays off. I was just saw a message here on Facebook this morning. No idea who this person is. I want to talk to you about selling my commercial unit, it says. And it's like, okay, sounds good. Let's chat about it. So
that's go ahead. That's awesome. Blake, hold on, let me just crystallize this really quick before so I want to make sure this is valuable to the audience as well. So your entry point is Instagram and then you go to Facebook and then you LinkedIn. Is there a particular pattern or sequence or is it just random? We can't hear you.
You're muted.
He got super excited. his mic panicked.
I can get into the details. It starts with Instagram, and then from there, it's saved in my camera roll. Facebook, if you go to the Messenger app and you try to upload to your story, you can't do multiple clips at once. So if you go to your actual Facebook app, you can select multiple clips, I think up to 15, and upload it to your story. So when my story on Thursday has 40 clips, 30 clips, like I need that function because otherwise I'm sitting there late at night trying to upload. So there's
that. You can grab that. Let's hear it.
Do the deal. Let's go. And then same with Snapchat. You can select multiple clips. So on Thursday, I'm doing Instagram. And then from Instagram, I am then uploading to those other ones by selecting multiple clips.
Got it. Cool. And so let's talk about, did any of you have anything to input about that question?
Because I want to overlay and kind of pivot a minute because I get calls from young brokers and all they're doing is posting stuff on LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter. And I think that's awesome. But I also warn them that you need to be careful about what kind of audience you drive, because like I only have so many hours in the day. I'm a little bit ahead of Blake. I have three daughters. But I part of the reason I don't triple down or quadruple down is most of the people I get that are contacting me, like, I don't know how to monetize my existing network. I mean, that's something that everybody wants to do at some point. I'm not even talking like, I'm not going to sell books or anything like that. I just don't know, unless I crowdfund through my network, I don't know how to monetize or add value or take advantage of the group. I mean, with you guys as posting as much as you do, I mean, how much of the interest that you get and the questions that you get, take away from your ability to grow and scale your business? And I know that's probably a bad thing to say, but there's a lot of young brokers here that literally call me and they think that to start out in commercial real estate, you jump on, social media, and it's like, it's never driven value for me. It's for sure the long game. It's for sure notoriety. It's for sure, what's the word? I mean, you're looking to grab
attention.
Attention. I pitch less because of, if there's one thing that I can say about LinkedIn and my execution on LinkedIn, even though it's been limited compared to, some of these other awesome guys on here, but it allows me to pitch less because people will call me and they'll have seen me before, done something before. So it's not like I have to compete as often with other brokers. They kind of know where I am and what I do. But I'm really weary because I get hit all the time on LinkedIn and Instagram with messages from people. And I love to respond to them. I'm just talking from a commercial real estate brokerage standpoint, which is my core business. Sometimes social media can take away from that. You guys control that? Do you have experience in that?
To answer that, Mark, and just, I think that what you're discussing is that demographic. I mean, when you're selling apartment units, you're really working with that very sophisticated investor, someone that's most likely owned multifamily before, I presume, So, I would look at that if that was my main core of business. Oh, obviously I would not use social media as much. I'd probably be way more niche focused on LinkedIn, value about this, rate of return on multifamily, whatnot. But when I'm targeting like small business owners, I would say that, I don't know how familiar you are with Beth Azor, but she says that 75% of her business comes from Facebook Messenger and just posting on Facebook. And I'm, looking at Facebook, like it's so outdated. I think that, I spend the time and I've seen a tremendous ROI from it because I have the ability to keep in touch with that referral base. I do, the first deal for this Boise Juice shop and now we're on, deal number four, but they've also referred me three deals along the way and I'm always engaging with them on social media. It's really hard to like hammer down that exact ROI, but yeah. I think you're 100% right when it comes to these new brokers getting involved. When I first got in the business, I did property management for about 4 or 5 years. So I learned the ins and outs of it. And then I jumped into brokerage about 4 years ago. And right when I did that, I said, I need my CCIM. I need to get educated because nobody that's qualified in this business is going to respect me at the age that I'm at without any sort of credentials. So that, I hammered that out the first 3 years. But on top of that, I documented the story to an extent. I wish I would have done better of saying, hey, this is what the CI 102 class is about. And this is my experience. And I'm in Las Vegas for it and whatnot. Yeah. And so I agree with you 100% is I think you need to really be hyper aware of what and why to use social media for the business. I think it's a great resource and tool if you know how to use it right. I don't know how much you know about me, but when I first got on social media, I did lip sync videos for about a year. And like consistently for like 90 days, I do a lip sync every single day. And that's how I kind of got it, like springboarded me. And to touch on what Bucky's been saying is that consistency of something that people will come back for or want to see. Now Instagram has this thing on it where if I try to lip sync something, it offsets the song. So I can't do them anymore. So maybe I need to start on LinkedIn again, but that's just my perspective. I think you have a really good insight on that, Mark, because you have the history in the business that Bucky and I don't have. I mean, 20 plus years in the business. And it's like, you're looking at, how to use this as a tool, but at the same time, you want to be cautious of your time. I mean,
at the same time, your answer is exactly what I was looking for, because you getting your CCAM and you wanting to learn and you grinding it out on the property management side, like that's the piece that I feel like so many of this next generation is missing. You gave respect to the industry. You wanted to hone in your craft. You wanted to learn. And then you're using social media as a way to document that and grow your network and grow your,
just the base level of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, when I first got involved, I was like, when anybody searches commercial real estate online, I want my face to come up first. So how do I do that? You know, and I can't tell you, I've spoken five to 10 panels in obviously I'm growing in the face of commercial real estate online, and like all of us are. And I think that there's a higher purpose to that. Yeah, maybe there's not an ROI to deals, but guys like you and I get to teach those younger brokers and say, hey, look, I know it looks like all we do is social media, but this is the hard work that we put in at the start and through our careers. Like, it's not like we just sit around on Instagram all day or LinkedIn or whatnot. We actually do business too. So
what I love that.
What I would add to it is, you know, like Blake said, he wants to be who pops up when someone looks up commercial real estate. And I would say, I want to be who pops up when someone looks commercial real estate, Rochester, Minnesota, when someone looks up business, Rochester, Minnesota, when someone looks up, I'm starting a business, Rochester, Minnesota. And the clearest path to doing so is creating content around that in your market. And then by doing so, you'll pop up on Google, on Facebook, on Instagram. And by doing that, you're becoming the media company, which leads to, and it's the Gary V model, opportunities. The next piece of content will open up that door that you never had imagined. And as we have consumers adapt to technology more than they ever have in years past, that's where they're starting. And that is where you need to be found. And so we're all trying to become the guy or the girl in something. And you just have to recognize, okay, if you're the apartment guy in Idaho, go deep in that and really try to share content about that. Because I believe as time passes, it's going to be more difficult to become that guy online because someone else will take it. Some other gal will take it. And so the time is still ripe. And we've been saying this now for flipping 10 years, I feel like. And this time is still ripe. Like it's still not being done in all these markets.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we take it for granted. It's not easy to, I mean, first of all, being a commercial real estate professional, you are a hunter, you are a nurturer, you are the marketing department, you are the sales guy, you are the sales VP, you're the strategist, you're the social media marketer. I mean, there's so much to do. It's not like they teach you in commercial real estate school, like how to become like a company of one inside a big company. I mean, literally you're competing against your peers when you're at a brokerage firm or a commercial real estate organization. So it's just a lot to do. And I think part of, a lot of the stuff that Blake, you, Bucky, Mark, and all of us like put together is kind of create a little bit of clarity and just clear the path a little bit just so that somebody understands like, okay, now that makes sense. But you're right. I mean, it's been over 10 years and, you know, you still don't see, you know, the commercial real estate broker in Irvine, California, right? You don't see that. And I think you're right. But I mean, it's one of those things like Gary V says, I got into Google AdWords when it was 10 cents and that's how I made all the money for the wine business. But as soon as, you know, everybody starts going in there, demand goes up and prices go up and you got to go find the next thing. So I think it's a lost opportunity for a lot of people. Let's talk about this. So I'm going to have, unless you guys want to chime in something else, this is kind of like my last question. So people go, okay, we've kind of shared what the different media platforms are, what each one of your styles is, who the audience is. Now, when somebody joins and let's say they want to double down on LinkedIn or they want to double down on Instagram or they want to pursue multiple avenues, you know, if they just start posting stuff, then it's like throwing a party in an empty warehouse and nobody knows where the location is, right? So how do you get found and how do you grow your audience, meaning your connections or your followers, et cetera? Bucky, like how do you start growing? Like, do you have some tips as to so that actually you start posting content and sharing things and actually get seen and get followed?
Yeah, I mean, using hashtags, using good descriptions in every platform helps. I think that number one, though, is actually going out and communicating with others that are already on the platform and adding value, adding your two cents to those individuals so they come back and look at what you're creating. So I think it's a joint effort of not only just beginning to post and put proper descriptions and hashtags and so forth, it's going out and having conversations. When you go to a networking event, are you going to meet anybody if you just sit in the corner and wait for people to come up to you? Heck no. You got to go out and shake their hand. You got to say hello. You got to tell them what you do. They'll tell you what they do and just look at it that way of on these platforms. You got to go out and shake their hand, or now in today's world, give them the Elbow.
So he's putting the social into social media. That's pretty awesome. I mean, it makes sense, right? Just the digital version of it. Blake?
Yeah, so I would have to say, you know, just number one thing is consistency. You know, find something that you are passionate about, you know, especially within the commercial real estate area, if you're looking to get on any social media platform, and start small. Start with one that intrigues you. You know, once you start to build a follower base, then you can kind of push people back and forth. I noticed this year has been a big year for me. It's like, let's try and migrate some of my Instagram influence over to LinkedIn or to Twitter, and kind of trying to bounce one another. But, you know, when I first got involved, it was running some paid advertising to get more attention. It was super cheap. You know, you could spend $1 on an Instagram post and get thousands of projected views, where now you spend $1, you get 20 to 30, maybe. So just kind of utilizing those resources, as well as Googling how to get started. I mean, there's so much free information out there on how to gain attention, maybe following a trend or a topic. You know, I pay attention to a lot of what Gary does, because he's got the dollars and the resources to, he's testing it and looking at all the metrics and the data. And, you know, if you kind of follow in line with that, you know, if you would have got on TikTok a year ago when he said, everybody get on TikTok, you'd have a following. I was 6 months later than that. Now I look at it and I've got a good base of a following. Now, does that convert to commercial real estate deals? Not today, but it will tomorrow. And that's what I tell everybody.
Mark?
I think listening to Bucky and Blake has been epic. I mean, I think that Blake's comment about being consistent, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's probably, I mean, my biggest criticism for myself is, I get on there, like you guys have seen me during COVID. I had time to get busy, and I was like, man, now there's so much opportunity right now. Let's jump on it. And then, you know, let's call it 3 months. So 90 days, the first 4 weeks was like, you know, fear and death and destruction. How deep will this go? The second 4 weeks was like, okay, we're going to be fine, but what are we going to do? And the last 4 weeks have just been back to deals. And so I've just been buried. And I wish I could hire somebody to do social media, but then it's not as genuine. And, you know, I just think that Blake and Bucky, how they've taken their careers, their commercial real estate focus, and they've layered in, you know, social media to reach their audience, to build more, you know, more of a network. I just think that's the right strategy. That's the play. I think these guys have done a fantastic job, but I think consistency is absolutely the name of the game. Bucky, you doing your Thursday thing every Thursday religiously. I mean, you will become a media company. You will be successful. My biggest challenge is I started doing social media late in my career, and I haven't figured out how to layer that in early. So I am the most inconsistent social media wannabe commercial real estate guy you'll meet. However, I'm pretty good to know. So I'll figure that out.
I'm going to second that. It's so, I don't have a content calendar or schedule anything. You have to be, and you probably, we all know this here is, you know, sometimes stuff just flows and you're super creative and you're posting and your ideas and Bucky, you pulling over to say, hey, I want to shoot a video of this. Like, why did you think of that? Rather than trying to, like, you know, come up with something. And the more you do something, the more easy it gets to say, oh, I need to pull out my camera or I need to film this or whatnot. And you guys all know it. There's times, there's weeks where it's super easy and it flows. And there's weeks where it's like, oh, I got to make a LinkedIn post, crap, you know, but
that's why I had to do Thursdays, because I knew that if I didn't, like, I would feel this pressure of, like, today. And, you know, now I no longer care. Like, if I don't post anything today, I care less, because I know tomorrow I got to rock it.
I love that.
I think that's actually awesome. But Blake, I will say that, you know, one thing I've learned from watching you is that I feel like you and I are friends, you know, like I closed the Zupas in Nampa last year, and I really thought about calling you, kicking you a referral just to help me run that thing through. And we'll do deals, mark my words, but you know, in theory, I think that I've built a relationship with you. And so if anybody, because I think that I've seen this, I've seen people jump on, they're like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, this, I'm going to make social media part of my business. Then 6 months later, they're gone. It's like, okay. But then you get the Blakes, you get the Natalies, you know, you get the Andrews, you get the Buckies. And then all of a sudden we create this community. So one of the ideas I had a few years ago is, you know, I was recruited to be a part of Apartment Realty Advisors. Well, ARA, the network of people, sold for over $100 million. And so then it's like, dude, I could create that network in a month just with you four, you know, the four of us, we could create that network, because it's that network where there's value. And the minute you start connecting with people that do the same thing that you do, and I think that is what's increasing in social media, is it used to be like, well, I'm in commercial real estate. Well, me too. Well, there's, you know, 57 subsets of that. But the more you start connecting with those people that are in your space that can provide value or you can share information off of, it's extremely valuable. Why is the platform I'm a part of valuable to me? Once a week, I get on the phone with 58 professionals from across the US. And I know exactly what's going on in their markets in my specific niche. I know how that affects the flow of capital, how that affects what's going to happen in my market. And those, that type of intelligence becomes super important because, like chasing attention, I chase flows of capital, right? So anyway, now I'm going way off topic.
Mark, and to kind of even touch on that too, I know I went to a Gary Vee conference 2 years ago. It was focused around real estate. And he goes, if I were to get into commercial real estate or real estate for that matter, I'd start a referral network because I know everybody, you know, and the minute that you have a connection in every state and the ability to just syndicate deals every which way, that's the person that's going to win in the future. And obviously these older school brokerages have struggled to build digital presences. But it's insightful to hear, you know, like that's fascinating to me that you jump on the phone and you know what's going on every which way around you. I want to be a part of something like that.
Well, but think about where the future is going. Transparency is increasing. Information is increasing thanks to DigZ. You know, speed to market's increasing. Connectivity. I mean, I joke that most of my career has come because I'm transparent. You know, like I bring all the information to the table and let my clients make the best decisions they can make when a lot of people are trying to make decisions in a vacuum. And the more we get, you know, I'm totally obsessed with the tokenization of real estate because there is so much friction in finding a guy like me that sold every building and knows the, I mean, I wrote a blog post, I think in 2015 for Duke Long, which where the heck has Duke been?
Koi and I were talking about that last night. We haven't seen Duke in a long time.
The clip right there, Andrew.
I hope Duke didn't get sick because I used to be on his top 100 in LinkedIn, top 100 of Twitter, and then I died off because I started making money, heaven forbid. And then you know we've kind of come back. So Duke must be rolling in it, man. On another conversation, I'll tell you about the homeless curve because being in the business for as long as I've had, I joke and I'll make it really quick. But my clients usually start out in t-shirts. They start making a little bit of money and then they get like a nice suit. And then the ultimate goal is to look homeless. Like that's how much money you want. You want to be so rich that I literally am flying back from National Multi-Housing Conference like 4 years ago in Orlando. And I'll just call him Tall Guy. He knows who he is. And he stops me in the airport. I literally was like, oh my gosh, what is that? And it was him. He is so rich. He looked homeless and scared the crap out of me. The only reason I knew it was him is he calls me Clay Aiken. So he was like,
oh, God.
He was all, hey, Clay.
That's funny. So, hey, before Bucky.
I got to run. I do. I have to run. I got a good meeting coming. So thank you so much. You
guys no awesome. Problem. Thanks for participating. So here's the one thing, right? So I appreciate your guys' input on growing the audience. I think hashtags are great. But do you guys want a little hack?
Yes.
All right. So let's say,
how do I team up with Blake? That's my hack.
So, so here's the thing, right? Remember we said, okay, just posting on social media is like throwing a party in an empty warehouse. Like, let's say we're throwing a concert, right? And you're a brand new artist. How do you get people to know you and come to your show? Is you go to a rap concert. Let's say you're hip hop or something. You go to a hip hop concert because everybody there likes hip hop, right? And then you start meeting people, and then essentially you start seeing who the fans of those people are, and you start bringing them towards you. So if I was to start again today, the thing that I would do is, let's say I'm a broker, right? And I see the Buckies, I see the Blakes, etc. I can start posting on my own, but I can start engaging with Blake. But what I would do is I would literally go and look up Blake, right? And then I want to network with other commercial real estate brokers. I would go to his followers and just start following everybody that he's following or that's following him, because now people will see me that I'm adding. So like, it's kind of like, hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. And usually for every 10 people that you add, that you follow on like Twitter, I'm not sure if it's the same on Instagram or different platforms, but it's about, you know, 3 for every 10 that you follow, between 2 and 3. So if you want, you know, 20 people following you, then you just do the math, right? You just basically go, okay, so 20% is going to be following me. So I just do that, you know, let's say three or four times. So that's like the thing that's interesting. Same thing on LinkedIn, right? Like you can buy Sales Navigator, or you can actually go and, let's say your audience is apartment individuals, right? So what better way than to identify, you know, the companies that you're looking for? And you can do this on Sales Navigator, which is the paid version. You can also do it on the free version. And basically you look up all your connections. You look up the specific company, second degree connection, right? And then you basically start following every, or you start adding everybody at that organization. And you can even target by title, et cetera. So now when they add you, you don't have, not everybody has to accept you. You can just add them and not add a note. Some people will look and go, oh, yeah, you know, I want to connect with this broker. And then all of a sudden, like you start putting a post, like something random. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen on LinkedIn, like the word of the day, like just stupid stuff like that. By the way, the word of the day today was,
I like that, taco. That was one of your words of the day.
You know what that, you know what the word of the day was today?
DGMA.
Oh, dude, it is connectile dysfunction. And here's what it means. Okay, so
oh
the,
my gosh.
Okay, word of the day, connectile dysfunction, meaning the inability to gain or maintain an internet connection.
I just figured you were talking about brokers over the age of 40.
Well, I'm almost 40.
And their use of commercial real estate. No, my joke is I'm the first millennial. Like, I don't know many people my age that are doing as much as I do on social media.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just me and you, because you're almost 40. I'm almost 42.
Yeah.
Or 40.
Blake, don't tell me how old you are, dude.
I just I'll keep that to myself.
Good man.
Hey, but yeah. Here's what I was gonna say about Duke Long. The blog post I wrote was called "I Am Blockchain," meaning that like I know every building, every owner, I know the lender, I know all the equity in the deals. You know, I know the history of the property. But that's what's going to speed up commercial real estate, and where Digsy has a huge opportunity. The market's going to change. Like we underestimate what can happen in a year, and we probably, or what do they say? We overestimate what can happen in a year and underestimate in five, the next 5 years in commercial real estate. So Blake, one of the things that you and I are going to talk offline is I get hit up all the time to raise equity for deals, and I'm pretty deep in that space. But that's one potential move for somebody with an audience, right? With, exactly. And I've been struggling for the right word, but like, I trust you, right? And we're involved in this trust revolution with social media in general. But you're going to find an opportunity that you want to go do in legally, you know, that's the piece I'm trying to figure out right now is how can you legally raise through a base of through social media. But we should talk offline on that because that's definitely in your future.
Yeah. That's so fascinating to me because I know that, you know, a big play of mine too is like, how can I influence those young e-commerce dudes that are making millions of dollars?
And I've been on the phone with two groups that invested in Nikola Motors.
I you know what? I'm not a huge fan of those guys, even though they've made a ton of money.
Yeah.
They haven't sold anything yet. And I know the hardships that Elon went through with Tesla.
Yeah.
I don't know if that guy has the kahunas to get through that. I mean, his car is cool and stuff, his truck that he's just been posting about, but I think it's like a 2022 Ford F-150 that Ford's just going to beat him to the punch. I don't know.
They probably will, but and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but those are the types of people that have money and don't know what to do with it. So continue.
Exactly. Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. I think it's just that like there's that younger generation that's falling into some big time capital. Yep. And, you know, what are they going to do with it? Most of them buy Lambos and houses and cars, but, you know,
which is a smart first step. I'm jealous of that.
I know, me too. You know,
but what's next?
We know commercial real estate is like that long-term play. So we're
generational
like,
wealth.
We could afford it. We hold back, you know, that's hilarious.
Well, we should for sure continue those conversations. I'd love to chat and get your thoughts.
Yeah, totally.
So one last question before we wrap up. The question's going to be posts or stories, right? What do you consume most of? Is it stories or is it posts? Do you guys have a preference on that? I know LinkedIn's going to come up with a story type platform. I know that Twitter just released one called, what is it called? Fleets. They released it in India, so I don't think it's here yet. Oh, so, Blake, we'll start with you. Stories or posts?
I'd have to say stories are about 80% of it just because it's that quick hit. I know me personally, I don't spend as much time scrolling through feeds anymore. You know, Instagram stories, like what Bucky's doing, you know, save that after you post it there and you can repurpose it everywhere else. I post on my main kind of page as almost like, okay, that's my portfolio of like pictures and deals, a few deals, my family, whatnot. Like I only post on my main page, you know, on Instagram every few days, if that, maybe once a week. And stories is where people have, you know, become grown. And I will tie this in. I think live is so important right now. It's kind of daunting and scary to do because you're like, oh my gosh, all these people are watching me like right now rather than them watching it when they have free time. I think LinkedIn's coming out with a live feature, or they already have for a lot of users. And then big props to my, you know, the unboxing. I don't know if you guys watched this, but during quarantine, Dave Portnoy, the owner of Barstool, went live on Instagram for probably about 20 days straight, and people were sending him packages. So it's like this free marketing thing that you could send him a package. And he had close to 100,000 people watching his live story one night. And it was like night three. And he opened boxes for like 5 hours.
No way. On Instagram.
And every hour he'd have, or every 2 hours, he'd have to reset it because it would like time off. He'd come back on. I just think that that live feature is something super underutilized. If one person is watching your live, I did one a few weeks ago during quarantine to just talk about our market. You know, maybe I got 4 or 5 people watching, but I can't tell you when I reshared that live, posted it as a story, how many questions people would watch it and ask me, say, hey, what's going on with this in the market? And what do you think about commercial real estate? Are the values going to go down and crash? And, you know, it just created this source of content that I found really valuable. Is I'm scared to do some lives. I don't know why. It just feels weird when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be live in these people and I can't mess up, you know? But I think it provides a really trustworthy and intimate relationship with people that watch it and engage with it. So that's what I recommend.
Mark?
I'm going to have to try live. I mean, one thing that it's funny because a competitor of mine actually posted this after I posted, but I think, I don't know if you guys saw my LinkedIn post about how my voicemail's full. Like, and I don't understand in modern society, like, how can your voicemail be full? The very next day, one of my competitors posted, my voicemail's never full. You know, like I'm always accessible. Which I was kind of a dig, and then it's like, whatever, I do tons of deals. But alternatively, like a live, I mean, I haven't been the most accessible. I mean, if there's one thing that I feel like the universe is asking me to do more of, it's to be more open and to be more accessible to people. For example, the last couple of years, I've been on a panel here for the Utah Board of Realtors, which is basically like I don't even know what they call it, but it's essentially they want residential real estate agents to know more of the commercial guys because it's just such a wall between the two, right? I mean, Blake, you'd have a great opinion on that. But I go to those meetings and people just don't know how the commercial side works versus the residential side. I've never sold a home. I've bought and sold, you know, 7 or 8 homes and never have represented myself, which surprises people, but it's just not my niche. It's not my space. But in that process, like it's amazing the relationships and the communication that comes out about bridging that gap. And I feel like what I've attempted to do on social media is give people a little bit of optics into the commercial real estate thing and how that works. I think there's a ton of opportunity, Blake, for you, for me, to start giving people more optics into our world that really historically has been, you know, an old guard, and it's, you know, information is how we make our money. But anyway, that being said, I could see how a live would be super powerful. I just listed a property right now. And I posted like the dumbest thing of me walking down the side of it. And people have been like DMing me like, hey, send me the info. So I think the other thing that you have an advantage of, Blake, is that you can actually go to listing presentations and say, you know, you can hire them, you can hire this lady, but you can hire me. And I have 20,000 Instagram followers and I'm going to do an Instagram live tomorrow. And here are the results. Like when you can actually start tying your following to deliverable results, I mean, that is going to be unbelievably a game changer in your space. And you're one of the first people that's cresting through that, right? Which I think exactly. Is epic.
And so
I want to explore some of that.
It's so interesting because it's like, you know, when I sit down at a listing presentation, I want to see, guess how many impressions you're going to get tomorrow morning. 100,000 people are going to see your listing. You know, like that's my goal, to be able to say that, you know? So it's now it's capturing the data, quantifying it, making it look presentable. So it's like in a 2-page thing that a 65-year-old investor can look at and be wowed by it rather than think, oh, what's this social media stuff? You know, and that's where my long game comes into play is 10 years from now, you know, Brandon that took over his dad's, you know, family shopping center, he goes, oh, I know that guy. And like, he can do all this for us. So it's, I think it's a mix of all. Interesting.
Well, and I think that, you know, my goal has always been to be the conduit, and now social media can be that conduit, right? So like I do deals because people are like, oh, we're thinking about doing this. Hey, call Mark. We're thinking about doing that. Hey, call Mark. And then as soon as they call me, what they don't see is the 17 years of business behind me where I can pick and choose the guys like, you know what, this would be perfect for these four people. Like that's what I do. But when you can condense that into, hey, this is Blake. This is my new listing over here. And here's kind of what I'm thinking and why I like it. I'm excited about it. Here's what's going on in the Boise market. And 17 people see that. And then 170 people see that. And then the next day you get an offer. I mean, you're actually going to drive speed to deals. I mean, right now, commercial real estate's lame. Like my average deal from listing to close used to be 91 days. Now it's like 127 because I track everything. That's also one of my competitive advantages. I go in and I say, I can statistically show you because I'm a dork, that when you sign this listing, here are the 18 things that happen, and we're averaging 91 days to closing. So you can sort of anticipate and plan that we'll fit in that same realm. But if you can go to them on social and say, like, I can go live right now. You sign that piece of paper, I'll go live right now, and by 5 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have offers on this deal. I mean, that is like, that's where the real power of social that no one's really been able to tap. You're going to be one of the first ones to do that.
Trying.
No, you already are, because I guarantee you, if I saw that you posted something that you had for sale and it was anything within my genre, I'll get you an offer by 5 o'clock. Because you and I are both lacking product. We have plenty of buyers. We do not have enough opportunities.
Talk about it.
But I'm excited to see where that kind of goes. And I think I'm going to challenge myself to explore that a little bit more. I might go over to my new listing and do some live and some Q&A, because I think, if nothing else, it might be educating my future clientele. Like you've been saying, Blake, play the long
game.
Here's
a little hack for you, Mark. Sometimes when you ask your followers for questions, you don't need them to send you questions. Just think of questions you'd ask yourself. And then there's
like, oh, hey, Carl from Orlando says.
No, but like relevant questions, you know, questions you might ask. I know I've done that on a few things. Like, it's fabricating questions, but it's creating engageable content.
For sure, and driving value.
Ask yourself the questions that people would ask anyway, but maybe, you know, I've used that a few times just because it works, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited. I want to keep up, and I appreciate being on with you guys today. I have a lot to learn.
Mark, are you a fan of stories or a fan of posts? Like, what do you consume most of?
So I think when I'm in deal mode, I scroll through LinkedIn to see what's up. I mean, like, you know, what companies are going where and, you know, who's buying and investing where, whatever I can pick up. And the nice thing about LinkedIn is because I've been on it for so many years and connected with so many people, I feel like it's almost like a stock ticker. Like I know what's going up and what's going down. And like I said, I chase flow of capital. So I would say that when I'm like, I don't know, personal time or whatever, or just trying to catch up on stuff, like I for sure go to Blake's stories pretty quickly and just kind of like burn through, make sure his daughter's, you know, walking, doing okay, hasn't smashed her face. So I think stories is how I've connected better to people. So it's interesting that you say that LinkedIn is kind of considering doing stories, because all of these platforms kind of pick and choose what works on other things, but what they don't realize is they also, you know, they kind of kill certain things that we love. I mean, if LinkedIn all of a sudden becomes Instagram, it's going to be like, well, that's where I go to do business. You know,
yeah.
I'm also looking at LinkedIn when I'm going to the bathroom. There's something wrong. So,
Blake, Facebook stories, is that used like as much as or people just post?
So if I post the same thing on Instagram that I do on Facebook, like I have it cross post. So every time I post an Instagram story, it goes over to Facebook.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, 20 to 50 people will watch it on Facebook. And in the past couple of days, I've had two people refer to my stories and I'm like, oh, you saw that on Instagram. And they're like, no, on Facebook.
Ah, like, got it.
Oh. It's kind of interesting to me because they've all been 50 plus. So I've kind of recognized that as, you know, maybe that's, and then I also do have a marketing guy that does all my advertising on Facebook in the back end of Facebook and Instagram. I just think that it's something that everybody has to pay attention to just because of similar to YouTube and Google SEO. Facebook ads, if you have the right person or understand how to target and market those, it can be a game changer. Like we're doing a ton of advertising on small business owners, how to do delivery and writing articles about, you know, how you can adopt to using Facebook ads to generate more, you know, leads to your business, especially when with COVID, you know, it's like all these small business owners are like, I only have reserves for 2 weeks. Like, what do we do? You know, and we need to offer delivery or curbside pickup. how do we do it? You know? And so I've, you know, had a lot of attention on two blog posts I wrote with my marketing guy on how to set up a Facebook page and how to drive traffic to that page to help your pickup. I don't know a ton about the back end of Facebook advertising. I have my guy do a lot of it. I just give him the context of commercial real estate, what we're trying to accomplish. And he does that work for me on kind of a consulting basis for me.
Cool. That's pretty awesome.
Smart.
All right, guys. So we'll just wrap it there. I'll let you guys go. Mark, you stay on a little
bit. 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 5.